Well, in last week's sermon, Kathy told you that I am sometimes a bit slow to perform what I guess in our household is the manly responsibility of putting up the Christmas tree. It's true. But this week, I am here to tell you that my wife and preaching partner this Advent stuck me with John the Baptist. I mean, I know it's Advent, but let's be honest. You know, the snow is falling. We're sort of leaning into Christmas. You know, we don't sing Christmas carols yet because it's not Christmas yet. We sing Advent carols, but still they're all over the radio. And I can hear, you know, Vince Guaraldi playing that thing from Charlie Brown, you know, Christmas time is here. Thank you, my friend. We did not practice that, actually. I mean, Christmas parties, the circuit has begun, right? They're already happening. The Grinch has been on television. In fact, the Grinch was on television before Advent even started. And also, I can tell you the time, airline, and flight number, if not the gate number, when two of our kids will be arriving at Midway Airport on Wednesday, December 19th. So, I am leaning into Christmas. I'm leaning into Christmas, and I do not need to hear from some ancient noisemaker who lived in the desert, who wore camel hair, and who ate wild honey. Well, that's okay, but also locusts. That is not okay. I mean, why would anyone who's seeking wisdom for life turn to someone who eats grasshoppers? So thanks to my bride, I am stuck with John the Baptist and his warm, cheery season's greetings of repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. We're about to celebrate the birth of a baby, the Christ child, for heaven's sakes. And all the J the B wants to talk about is repentance. Repent of your sins, John says. And if that's not enough, he calls many of his listeners, the most religious ones, in fact, he calls them a brood of vipers. You snakes, he says, thinking you do not have to change your ways. Now, this is just the thing to get me in the Christmas spirit, is to get up in front of you and call you all a bunch of snakes and tell you you need to change your ways. Yuck. Christmas is about the birth of the Christ child, and for all the animals that we have placed around the manger already, and for all the animals you'll hear sung about tonight, the friendly beasts, snakes are not among them. And that is not what I see nor what I think when I look out upon you all. So thank you very much, John the Baptist, but maybe you could at least wait until Christmas is over before you sound your warning about repentance and vipers and baptism with fire. I mean, we are talking about a baby, after all. And it's the baby that needs changed, right? I think that's a pretty clever line. I think that just might get me published in one of those online preacher magazines. People will steal my stuff next Advent. The only problem is this: John the Baptist doesn't think that was very clever. Because John the Baptist is saying that it's me who needs to change. That's going from preaching to meddling. Repent, John says. Repent means being sorry for your sins, but more. Repent in the original Hebrew means to turn. To repent is to turn away from your sins, to change your direction, to choose a different path in your life. Now, for some of us, there are times when we have sinned. We have messed things up good, and it's clear to see if we're brave enough to look in the mirror. We have broken commandments. We have broken promises. We have broken people, ourselves, often enough by our own choices. Those whom we love the most, by our selfish choices. And at those times, John's call to confess our sins and to repent and to turn in a different direction, well, that's what we need to hear. Repent, John says, throw yourself on the mercy of the judge who is our Redeemer. And if you do that, then you'll hear the words of forgiveness, and you can taste the joy of forgiveness, and you can maybe not forget the past, but you can turn away from it and really start a new life. Times like that, John the Baptist's word, he's a doorway into a new existence, a doorway into a new place, a doorway into a new hope. But others of us may not have done that kind of damage. Overall, we're pretty good people, we think. We haven't done much harm, and we've done a fair amount of good. I mean, we're not perfect, but then who is? And we're nice enough, really. We're nice enough, aren't we? So what does John the Baptist have to say to us? Well, there's an oft-repeated truth that God loves us just the way we are, but God loves us too much to let us stay that way. I think that's what John the Baptist says, except he leaves out the love part. He lets Jesus fill that in later. We can't stay the way we are, John says, because too often, as one preacher wrote, and listen to this, too often we prefer illusions about ourselves instead of the embarrassing truth that we usually are not very holy. That often our faith is a trivial thing pasted on the outside of an otherwise unchanged life. And that too often we envision God as helping us with our pet projects instead of letting God use us for what God needs done in the world. That's a little close to home, I think. We prefer illusions about ourselves to the embarrassing truths that we are not very holy, that our faith is sometimes a trivial thing just pasted on the outside of an otherwise unchanged life, that too often we just envision God as helping us with our own pet projects instead of letting God use us for his good. Oh my God. My God, is that me? Could that be me? Could it be me that needs to change? To change direction a little bit or maybe a bit more? Change, I don't know. Think about it. It's a baby, remember? It's about the baby again, and the baby's the one that needs to be changed. But think about it, when a baby comes by birth, by adoption, however it is, when a baby comes, everyone changes. No one can remain the same. Not mother or father, not brother, sister, grandparents. A baby changes everyone. I mean, a baby turns your world upside down. A baby demands your attention, your energy. A baby changes your focus. Changes the way you spend your time and your money and the way you plan your days. A baby reorients your whole life around another life. A baby brings sleeplessness. A baby brings a reverence for life. A baby brings fear sometimes. A new vulnerability to the world, a way the world can hurt you when it couldn't before. And a baby brings joy. That's can be true of a baby born into any family, but how much more true is it when this is the baby who is born into the whole human family? So just maybe if you really get Christmas, then that child will turn your world upside down. That child will demand your energy, your attention. That child will change your focus, the way you spend your time and your money and your days. That child will reorient your whole life around the lives of others. That child will bring you maybe some sleeplessness, a reverence for life, some fear maybe, as in awe, a new vulnerability, a new compassion for others, and certainly, surely, joy. Joy. Joy to the world is one of the best loved carols, isn't it? And it's got a line in it about repentance, although it's sort of disguised. Let every heart prepare him room. Most of the time during Christmas, we're trying to fill our hearts, right? We try to fill our hearts, but if we repent, and maybe that means looking into our hearts and seeing if we've left any room in there for God. So let's be brave enough this Advent to look into our own hearts and see if maybe we've lost our way. See if maybe we need to redirect our focus. Maybe just a few degrees, but maybe we've got to do a 180. Think about it. Think about it for a moment right now. What direction are you heading in your family, in the way you spend your days, in your life with God? Do you need to turn in a new direction? Is it reorienting yourself just a little bit, or is it a more major turning? Do you need to refocus in a God-centered way? Do you need to remember anew that God is not at our beck and call to handle our pet projects, but rather we are here to serve God? Let every heart prepare him room. This Advent, let's resolve not to fill our hearts. Let's celebrate with gift giving and with feasting and with friends and family, but let's not try to fill the place in our hearts that can only be filled by a presence from beyond ourselves. That space in our hearts that can only be filled by a love from beyond this world. That would be a repentance. Let every heart prepare him room. Pray with me. Gracious God, you know the direction in which each of us is heading. And you know what kind of a mid-course correction we need. This Advent, Lord, let us know. And let us be brave enough to turn our hearts toward you. We pray in Christ's name, for Christ's sake, and for the world's sake, and for our own sakes. Amen.